John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh in verse 14 of John 1 and dwelt among us. I'm going to stop right there for a second. We have to understand that God is the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Holy Spirit is the Word. Amen. All right, we're going to edit that in. The Word is God. The Word is Jesus. The Word is the Holy Spirit. That's who He is. Everyone said, but this is what I think of Jesus. You can't think of Jesus outside of this. The problem that we have is we often like to line up, we like to change the Bible to fit our lifestyle instead of changing our lifestyle to fit up with the Word. That is why we have so many problems in our life. That is why the world has so many problems. Oh, the Bible promises there'll be chaos, Pastor. Yeah, but you don't have to be a part of it. Line up with the Word. Well, I know, but I just have this different idea who Jesus is. No, Jesus was the Word made flesh. He showed us how to live the Word. That's why He became flesh. And this is what the enemy does. See, when we try to make the Word fit our lifestyle, delete things, add things, have a different take on things, and gather to ourselves teachers or friends that are contrary to this, but they say they're Christians, this is what happens. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief comes, Satan, Beelzebub, Lucifer, Slewfoot, whatever you want to call him, it's in your Bible. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy by speaking something contrary to God's Word. But Jesus said, I've come, the Word made flesh came, that you might have life and you may have it more abundantly. What God speaks gives us life into a situation. It may not be what you like to hear, but it brings life into the situation. It might be, boy, this is going to be a tough one to do. I know it's going to be tough, but he says in the long run, it's going to bring life into the situation, to your marriage, into your finances, into your relationship, how you think, how you feel. When you do what is right, your feelings will change. That's why if you get lost on your feelings all the time, you will make some bad choices. Bad choices if you go on your feelings. Hebrews 4:12, one of my favorite passages. For the word that God speaks, that means there are different words out there, people. There's different words that people are speaking. But the word that God speaks is alive, it's full of power. It's energizing, it's effective, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. Why does it have to be so sharp, Pastor? Why can't it be like a little Nerf ball that just hits me and taps me? Because we're listening to contrary teaching outside of this. So when the truth hits us, it hurts. Because we've been taught by what someone else thinks or what it says, and it doesn't line up with the Word. So in order to cut it off, it's going to hurt. But it penetrates, it divides the breath of life in the immortal spirit, the joints and the marrow, the deepest parts of our nature. It's our nature. He wants it so when situations come up in our lives that our nature is to respond the way He tells us to respond. He wants it to become our nature. We can do that. The Bible says so. But what God speaks, what the Word speaks, it sifts, it analyzes and judges the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. Oh boy, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I want you to look at the person next to you right now. Just look at them. If there's not anyone next to you, find someone and give them a really bad, just glare at them. I just want you to say, I believe this is going to hurt today. That's it. But I need it, but you need it more than I do. There we go. Heavenly Father, be with us today as your word cuts off the stuff in our life that we don't need, that we don't want, that's bringing us death. Father, I pray for any false teaching, anything that's contrary to your word today, any thoughts, ideologies, all those things like that, that just falls to the wayside today. As Paul said, let's just cut off those things that are easily holding us down. Father, I want to rise above the situation and not just look straight ahead and say, there's an obstacle I can't get over. May your Holy Spirit rise me above that situation today and see over and see what's next, the promises that you have for me. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So today, the Spirit would have us say, what are we speaking? What are we talking? Well, who cares how we speak? Who cares how we speak? Who cares how we talk? I'm not talking, oh, I can't say this word, I can't say this. I'm saying that who you are in word and deed is going on the inside. You and I are going to be judged, the Bible says, and found innocent or guilty by what we say. Why? Why by what I say? Because who you are on the inside is how you speak. I like to speak how it is. That's not in the Bible. I'm not saying, I don't want to know, I don't want to know. I'm not naive to what's going on, but I speak the promises in God's word. I don't want to be around Debbie Downers all the time. I'm sorry if your name's Debbie here today. That's just another term. Sorry, I apologize. I don't want to be around those people who say, oh, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to change. Oh, you speak in death. Is that the word? Because with God, all things are possible. This is what Jesus had to say. A good man, good woman, good teenager, good child, out of the good treasure of their heart, brings forth. In the Greek, it says flings. Fling. It flings out of your mouth. It flings. You know, when you speak something, usually just the intended recipient is not the only person that hears it. When I speak, do you know that other people hear what I speak? That's why you have to look around when you go out to a restaurant to see who's listening, right? You think you're speaking to the person across from you in the booth, but anybody could be listening. When something is flung, that means it can go anywhere. We have a couch at home, a big wraparound, big, huge couch. I sit in a separate chair because we have a dog that my wife told me it was a non-allergenic dog. And someone's lying. It was either the dog, but we've had it for 13 years, so the kids love it, and Kelly loves it, so I get my separate chair. The dog cannot go in the chair. The dog can't look at me. The dog can't touch me. I love animals. I'm just allergic to certain ones. So, but during that process, if I fling the remote, if someone's not watching the TV the way they want, you know, I was like, let's watch something else. And they say, hey, toss me the remote if you're not watching it. So for me to hit this big wide couch with three people sitting on it, I can fling it and it doesn't really matter where it goes. Well, it kind of does, but when Paige, my daughter, flings it back at me, I'm sitting in a 2.5-foot wide chair. When she flings it, it tends just to go wherever. It's not usually close. I said, no, you have to be more accurate when you throw it to me. Here, the Bible says it flings out of your mouth. Everyone can hear what you're saying. Everyone knows what's going on in your heart. Because an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart flings forth that which is evil, because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. There's something that has to be in your heart then. Something, I love this, in the Amplified. The upright, the honorable, intrinsically good person, man, woman, child, out of the good treasure that's stored, hide your word in my heart so I may not sin. I'm storing God's word. I'm storing this in my heart, in my memory, in my thoughts. Because what is stored in my heart produces what is upright, honorable, and intrinsically good. Intrinsically means my nature. It's my nature to think like this. It's my nature to speak like this. But the evil man out of the evil storehouse brings forth or flings forth that which is depraved, wicked, and it's your nature to be evil. For out of the abundance of or overflow of the heart, it speaks. Interesting, the wisest person ever. Wisest person ever. Well, why do you know that? Because God says it, and I believe what God says. So Solomon, the wisest person ever. Proverbs. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it, those who partake of speaking and acting, just remember, don't get lost on it's the tongue, because the tongue is manifesting what's going on in here. In word and deed. Whoever indulges in it shall eat the fruit. You will get the benefit, whether it's good or evil, of what you're speaking. What we speak is very important to God because it's an indicator what's going on the inside. There are natural differences, though, in how we speak. There's natural differences, and I'm not going to pick on different groups and age groups of people, but let's just say men and women. How about that? 2015, U.S. researchers said that women speak 21,000 words a day. In general, may not be you, you might be at 20,500, doesn't matter. Men, on an average, speak 7,000 words a day. 7,000 words a day. Wow. Some of you think that might be high. Women also use emojis or emoticons to share their feelings, 8 women compared to 1 man. On your phone, you have your little keyboard on your phone, and people type, you know, you guys are an emoji. They have all the different symbols, and people use that. An emoji are symbols used to convey a person's mood, help provide context to a person's textual communication in order to clarify that message. Otherwise, it could be misunderstood. Have you ever had a misunderstood text with not emojis? Are they angry? Are they happy? Are they mad? Why are they being so short? Why are they curt? Why? They didn't respond. They didn't respond. How could they not respond? They always have their phone on them. They always have their phone on them. Just so you know, no one has their phone on them all the time. And if you say you do, you don't. But if they don't respond, there's an issue. If they do respond in a different way, we get all upset. So they created the emoji or the emoticon to express how you feel so it's not misconstrued. Several times a week, my wife texts me, and she uses emojis. Tuesday nights, for instance, 6:30, I typically get a text. We have Taco Tuesday at our house. We have some people over, different people, different age groups, and we have tacos and this whole big fiesta time. She will send me, but usually about 6:30, I get a message. I can just see her typing it out. There is alarm clock, alarm clock, alarm clock. Bug eye, bug eye, bug eye. Taco, 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 hat, 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 clapping, clapping, clapping. Question mark. I respond with the letter K. I know, she knows. Are you coming home for dinner at this particular time because it's going to be ready any minute? My response, the letter K. Her response to my letter K. Hand clap, hand clap, hand clap. Sunset, sunset, sunset. Airplane, airplane, airplane. Bug eye, bug eye, bug eye. Smiley face with the little hearts and the eyeballs and the whole thing. My response, the letter K. Ooh, she's texting me right now. Stop it. Okay. Don't want to be misunderstood there, so okay. Out of the men and women who use that, emoticons, women use 124 emojis compared to 1 from a guy. So we can understand that some people are more expressive than others. They want to make sure that they communicate to you in such a way that they know that you know what they're talking about. So Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. We could just stop right there. God's not a talker then. But he said, in the image of God, and he created male and female. So both are images of God. Both are creations. Both are brand new creations. They're brand new, clean slate creations. Genesis 5:2, he created male and female, and he blessed them. We're both blessed. We're blessed people. We have clean slates. It's awesome. We have this. This is incredible. 2 Corinthians 5:17 now, New Testament, because we know sin entered in. We know all those things. But now, if any man be in Christ, now he's a new creature. We're created just back in the image of God again. If I'm in Christ, I get this new image. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Every single thing in God's word in my life has now become new. My old way of thinking, my old way of talking, my old way of speaking, my old way of interacting, my old way, my deeds, my words, everything is now changed. Because I have the image of God, but through the reading of the word, I can take the nature of God. I'm creating that image. Now it's my job to get the nature. So we not only have to have the image, but through the knowledge of God, we get his nature. In the Bible, you will never ever see God say, do nothing. Someone says, you know what, Pastor, if I don't have anything good to say, you know what I usually say? Nothing. Right? Something that does nothing is dead. By definition, something that does nothing is dead. What's your opinion on that? I have nothing. Hey, do you want to? No. What do you think? I don't. Do you have an opinion? No. That person do not invite to the party. Because every party has a pooper, and that's why they invited you. I'm sorry. I just, party pooper. I'll edit that part out. Okay. Many people are quiet. Men, we can be quiet. Sure, we know that. But we're a new creature in Christ. Something's changing. I'm not trying to tell you, justifying your walk with Christ, you're going to talk 21,000 words a day. I'm saying is for all of us, the words that we speak, whether it's 2,000 words a day, whether it's 45,000 words a day, the word says it better line up with this. What I'm speaking, it better be found in here. My thoughts, my heart, my motives, I will be judged on according to the word. And is my nature, my heart, flinging forth something that is from the heart of God? Death and life, remember, are in the power of the tongue. And they that shall eat the fruit thereof. So out of the mouth can't proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things should not be. I can't be that person at work that everyone loves because, oh man, you're so funny, you're so engaging, you're so, and then you get home and you say nothing. Well, the kids need discipline. Of course they do. Spare the rod, spoil the child. We know all the verses. We know that. But that doesn't mean crush their spirit. So the words that we speak are important. Does it bring life into a child? I'm not saying you don't correct the child. I'm saying how do you bring life in that child? Because correction does bring life. Do you know that? Correction from that which is wrong brings life because the enemy comes to steal, rob, and destroy and to take you down a path that's contrary to this. But with correction into God's word, it will bring life and bring it more abundantly. I'm telling you, a child that's living under the blessing of a mom and dad because they're doing what is right lives life a lot more abundantly than the child who's stuck in his room because he's grounded for 4 years. That's the person who's been grounded right there. Okay. Matthew 10:32. This is what Jesus had to say. Whoever there shall for confess me before men. You confess with word and deed. That person I'll confess also before the Father. But whosoever shall deny me in word and deed, him will I also deny before my Father. Why do you say word and deed? Because it's both. You can't do one thing with your actions and speak another thing. As believers and followers of Jesus Christ, yes, I'm a Christian, but I do this. Brother, that ought not to be. Yeah, well, I'm a really good person over here, but I speak this all the time. That not ought to be. Confess in this passage, it even says it discloses, to disclose something about yourself, to acknowledge belief in something. Because of that, I believe in the person of Jesus Christ. I believe, I'm going to disclose this about me. I believe in God's word. I believe in that. So when I'm quiet, when I don't use God's word, when I don't speak of it, when I don't pray it, when I don't practice it, it means I'm dead to God's word. See, you can't speak something that you don't read. I'm going to say that again. You can't speak something you don't read. Amen. You can't believe something that you don't read. How can you believe it if you don't read it? You can't speak it if you don't read it. Here's Jesus in Mark 11. Jesus was the Word made flesh, and he showed us how to live. This is Jesus walking around. This is how you live. This is how you act. This is how you talk. He said, on the morrow when they came from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Right there, Jesus was fully man. He was hungry. A spirit man doesn't just walk around, oh, I think I'm hungry. No, he was fully man. And if you read further in the Greek, it was pizza that he was eating. Okay, I'm just kidding. I don't know about that. Okay. I get a pizzeria when I go to heaven. That's the one thing God's given me. Okay, all right. Seeing a fig tree, verse 13, far off, having leaves. Okay. It had leaves, right? There's a sign of life. Sign, it had leaves. And he might find, but he came up thinking there might be something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. and there was no fruit or figs on the tree. Word indeed, everybody. I can say all these wonderful things, but on a close inspection of my fruit, do I have any? Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And your life is totally contrary. Jesus said to the tree, no man eat fruit of this tree ever. And his disciples heard it. He was teaching his disciples that don't speak one thing and live another way. See, the Bible says they will know you by your fruit. Not by what I say, but my fruit, what I'm saying and doing. Don't limit yourself in thinking, well, I can hide it, what's going on in here. I'm a flowery person, and I just know how to talk my way out of everything, and I can just speak. People know when you're fake. Come on. Has anyone ever said something and they didn't mean it? How many people have never raised their hands but meant to do it? You were faking. Some of the reasons we don't take Jesus public, like when Jesus spoke to the tree, he said, you're done then. If you're not doing that which I've created you to do, because you're a new creature in Christ, and if you're not doing the thing that I created you to do, you're done. Had your protection gone, you're not living under that hedge. But some of the reasons we don't speak that is we don't believe the word. We don't believe it. I know it, but I don't believe it. Why? Because in my life, what I'm going through right now, God's word isn't true. It was true the last 48 trials that I went through, and I saw God work his way through it, and I said, but at this point in my life, I don't see God doing it, so I don't believe it now. I don't speak it. I don't pray for it. I don't even have faith to believe it's going to be done. Or you don't read it. Commands us to hide his word in his heart. So I may not sin. Well, I just don't have faith. Sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Doubt it. Faith without works is dead. It's dead. In Romans, it gives us this snapshot. What does this faith look like then? Because I'm supposed to be manifesting something. See, faith is not just in my words. Faith without works is dead. I can't just speak faith. Oh, I believe. No, our actions have to show that we believe God's word is true. I don't just say my kids are going to be, God's going to take care of them. No, you're going to train up that child in the way they're going to go. It's up to that child to decide, but I'm going to do everything that I'm supposed to do according to God's word. This is Romans now. As it is written, I've made you the father, Abraham, father of our faith. Jesus said so, of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God whom he believed, who gives life to the dead. And he speaks of the non-existent things. Things is the word. Every time you see this, things means word. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Everything in the word. So Abraham speaks of the things in God's word even though he doesn't see it happening yet. Abraham speaks the word over something. He prays for it even though he doesn't see it. Those things that were already foretold and promised. There we go, things foretold and promised as if it was already done. He's not living in a world where, I don't see. No, he. In order to pray, you have to identify something's wrong. Hey, I'm praying for my marriage right now, and God, you can restore my marriage. I can see it. Well, no, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Then why are you praying? There's something wrong. See, faith doesn't live in this world where nothing's wrong. That's why you need faith. I identify, man, there's something wrong, and by faith, I'm going to pray the promises in God's word, and God, you're going to give me clarity on a decision. You know that a lot of people need faith because they're indecisive. They're looking for an answer, and they need to know it. By faith, I got to do this. God, point me in the right direction. There's a story of Jairus. It was right there in the middle of the story of the woman with the issue of blood. For years, she spent all her money, and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. At the same time, this man, Jairus, he wanted to talk to Jesus about his daughter who was dying. In the process of all that was happening, the crowd, she died. We got word, she died right there. Jesus didn't say, don't worry about it. He went to the house. I love this. In the Greek, it says he flung. Remember about flinging? When you fling, other people see it. He flung the doors open, his disciples and all these people saw it rise up. And everyone saw her rise. See, With God, all things are possible. He can rise up any situation that we think is dead. We speak to it. We can fling God's word out. Why? Because I want my kids to hear what I'm praying about. I want my friends to hear what I'm praying about, because God gets the glory. See, we live in such a private world. I don't want anybody to know my problem. I don't want to tell anybody, because then they're going to think there's something wrong with me. Ain't something wrong with you. The Bible even says the righteous shall be afflicted. It's going to happen, but the Lord shall deliver them. So stop thinking that the hedge and protection is gone and that I did something so evil and wrong because someone else did something wrong that was in my family. I'm telling you right now, God can restore and do anything, but you don't need to hide from it. You need to embrace God's word. You need to go forward in God's word and speak it over their life. In John 16, 24, Jesus said, up until now, you have not asked a single thing. What's thing? My word. You haven't prayed in my word. You haven't asked anything in my name. Don't attach his name to something that he never said. Oh, in Jesus' name, I pray that's the girl for my daughter. In Jesus, I mean, the praise that's the son for my daughter. In Jesus' name. Oh, that's the car for me. In Jesus' name. That's the house for me, in Jesus' name. That you're taking this out of context. Up until now, you've never asked, you've never prayed and had faith in a single promise in the word in my name. Just because you say in Jesus' name doesn't mean anything if it's not in here. I got a word from the Lord, and it's contrary to this, and they say in Jesus' name. It can't be contrary to this because this is Jesus. I've heard a lot of people give false everything and they say, in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't line up with the word, it's not from Jesus. It's false. It's contrary, and it brings death into a situation because you give false hope and faith to someone that should they never have faith in something contrary to God's word. That's what the enemy wants, because that's how, when it doesn't happen, he sucks the faith out of people. But Jesus said, now ask and keep on asking and you will receive so that your joy may be complete and full. It's important that we know the word, everyone. It's important we know the word. At the name of Jesus in Philippians 2:10, it says everything at the name of Jesus has to bow down. At the name and speaking this word over a situation, everything has to bow down to it. It's important we know the word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. I'm not speaking the word if I'm not believing it. And if I'm not reading it, I can't believe it because I can't speak it. Jesus said in John 14:10, do you not believe that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the work. Jesus said, hey, are you not getting this? You think everything I'm doing is just because I'm, no, it's the Father within me. I'm being obedient to what he wants, therefore his results are happening. My obedience doesn't bring my results. My obedience to God brings his results. Wow. You're a tough crowd. My obedience to God's word brings his results. Don't be disappointed when you're obedient to God's word that you don't get what you want. Well, I'll just pray for something outside of here then. And just attach Jesus to it. Nope, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Well, Pastor Grant, I see things, I call things the way that I see them. I'm Captain Obvious. I don't think this has a chance, therefore I pass. It ain't gonna work, therefore I walk away. My marriage is tough, I walk away. My kids, I stopped praying for them years ago, they're on their own, who cares about them? Where's that in the Bible? Where's that? Well, I figured when they were 18, boom, I gave up on them. Wow. As far as I know, they're still a child. There's a lot of old children. Well, Pastor, I just speak death. I just speak fear. I speak torment. I speak of things as if they won't change. And I speak of a one-sided man's opinion because that's what's inside of me. Right. You speak death all the time. As a husband, you're going to bring your family down. As a wife, you will bring your family down. As a single mom, you will bring your family down. As a single dad, as a grandparent. Well, as a grandparent, I just have wisdom. I've lived for 73 years, and I just know how things work. As a born-again believer of God, you should know how things work. Nothing is impossible for God. At 18 years old, nothing is impossible for God. Well, they just haven't lived long enough to be disappointed like I have. Because you were praying in Jesus' name for something you wanted and not for his glory to be shown. Because my joy can be full whenever God's plan is fulfilled, not mine. There's a story, for time's sake, I'm going to give you a little timeline on this, but in Numbers 13, I think we know the story. The Israelites were out in the wilderness. They'd broken free from captivity. They were under the Egyptian rule, and God set them free. Sent 10 plagues. You guys remember the 10 plagues? You guys grew up watching Charlton Heston, that was Moses growing up. I mean, that's what Moses looks like. I can't believe they got a picture of him. So there's Charlton Heston. They had the 10 plagues. The water in the movie didn't really turn red. The whole screen turned red, if you guys remember. It's just... But there's 10 plagues, and then they go out in the wilderness, and then the Red Sea parts. Wouldn't that be incredible to watch that? We're going to die. And all of a sudden, wow. You know how many people saw that Red Sea part? 5 million people, minimum. 5 million testimonies to a sea parting. Not including the 10 plagues, not including the sea parting. Now they're out in the wilderness, and every single day, you know what's happening? Foom, a steak sandwich has fallen out of the sky for them to eat. Hey, I'm hungry. Foom, steak sandwich. Well, barbecue chips over here, just a little Mountain Dew, whatever. I mean, they just got whatever they wanted to. They had an umbrella of covering from the sun and the clouds at night, a pillar. All of these miraculous things had taken place. Now they're going to the promised land that God promised them. It's yours. Here, we're going to pick up the story now. And the Lord said to Moses, send men out, 12 leaders. There's 12 leaders to explore and scout for yourself the land of Canaan, which I've given to the Israelites. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader or head among them. You know what's important who your leader is? Wow. It's important who your leader is. They're going to give you direction. They're going to give you vision. There cannot be a defeatist mindset in a leader. I don't care if it's business, if it's church, whatever it is, a coach, whatever it is. You have to have a plan, and you have to work the plan. You can't worry about voices going inside and say, did God give you something or didn't he? So let's do this thing. Let's go. So there's these 12 people who had seen all of these miraculous things. These are leaders. They've seen all these miraculous things already take place. So Moses, by the command of the Lord, sent the scouts from the wilderness of all the men who were the heads of Israelite. What did they look? This was the word of the Lord spoken over them. This is the word. He said, I've already given you the promises in here. Now go check it out for yourself. So for 40 days in verse 25, for 40 days, they checked out to see if God's word is true. So there's an issue in your life. You get 12 wise people together and they lock themselves in a room for 40 days and they try to figure out if God's word is true or not. This is what's happening. They were watching from binoculars. This how this was set up. They actually walked into Canaan. They were walking around. They were checking things out. They didn't announce and say, hey, we're the Israelites. We're about to take you over. They walked in amongst everybody. They sampled. They talked to people. They saw the size of the people. They took fruit. They took all the things of the land, the milk, the honey. They took it all back, and they presented it back to Moses and Aaron. Verse 26 says, they brought them word and showed them the land's fruit. They showed them the testimony. They said, you know what God was saying is true. Boy, we checked this thing out. And God promised, and you know what? It's right over there. It is there. It's there. I believe God's word is true. It's incredible. It's there. Not only did they seek, they gave evidence to what God had. They actually got a glimpse and they tasted what was promised. How awesome is that? You actually get to see it. As followers of Jesus Christ, there's this thing called the rapture. Some people don't believe in the timeline of that rapture, but according to the Bible, before that 7-year tribulation, we're getting raptured out of here. Harpozo, boom, snatched out of harm's way. People believe that we're going to be yanked out, which I believe, out of harm's way. They believe our clothes are going to be left on the ground perfectly folded, like Tim LaHaye said. Before we get caught up in the air, we're going to disrobe, fold our clothes, put our shoelaces in, we're going to tie them in there and leave a little note, this is where I went. And we're just going to go sky, we're going to shoot out of the sky. We believe that. We believe then for 7 years we're going to eat and we're going to have a feast with all the saints who've gone before and with Jesus and the angels. We're going to have a great old time. We're going to come back at the end of 7 years. We're going to wipe out all the armies of Armageddon. And then for 1,000 years we're going to live in Jerusalem. And then after that, a new heavens and a new earth comes down. We believe all that, but we don't believe God's word and a promise for our job. Oh, yeah, I can't wait for the rapture church. This is going to be awesome. Hey, brother, how's your marriage? Oh, it stinks. I gave up on that long time ago. Wait, what? Did God, wait. You believe all of this, but God can't do that? Nah. Marriage has been bad for a couple days. Now it's over. But the return of Christ, I've been waiting for 44 years. It's going to happen any day now. You've waited for 44 years to something, and you believe it's going to happen, but you had a little difficulty over here. You didn't get the job you wanted. Your kids aren't there. And you stopped believing that? Whoa. How the abundance of the heart. Words fling forth. And your actions and your words. See, if you don't believe it's going to happen, you're not going to do the required steps that you need to take to make it happen. You're going to stop praying. You're going to stop loving your wife. You're going to stop praying for your kids. You're going to stop doing the things that the Bible requires of you to do in order to see the promise be fulfilled. How do I know that? Because right here, it says they told Moses, we went into the land, we saw it. Yes, it flows with milk and honey. Yes, all of the promises that God said are true, but. This is where you start reasoning away scripture. It can't happen for me. But. This means I'm about to give you an evil report. The people who dwell there are strong. There's fortified walls. There's the Nephilim. There's these giants. They're 13 to 18 feet tall. We can never defeat them because later on it says we're grasshoppers in their sight. You know what? That's the enemy telling you that it's never going to happen. That is the enemy telling you, you know what? You're stuck. Go find something else to do. You know what? Your lot in life. You know what? I know it stinks, but that's God doesn't care about you anymore. You know what? Just wait till the kids are done. Then the divorce is on. You know what? Just you know what? Let her deal with the kids. It's just too busy. You know what? Your job. I know it stinks, but in 23 more years you can retire from it. That's the enemy. Caleb in verse 30 quieted the people before Moses and said, no, we can conquer this thing. We can conquer the people. Why did he say that? Because God's word said they could. All he was doing is he's repeating God's word. Caleb didn't come up with this on his own. Caleb didn't say, I know God didn't say this, but we can defeat the enemy in Jesus' name. Caleb didn't say that. Caleb didn't make something up and attach Jesus to it. He said, we can do this because God said it. This is, you got to understand, I'm going to do this in Jesus' name. Wait, if he doesn't want you to do it, why would you do it? And don't attach Jesus to it because if your will is not done, you make Jesus look bad. Well, they said Jesus told them to do it and it didn't work out, so I guess their anointing left them. No, they didn't hear Jesus to begin with. Verse 32, they brought the Israelites an evil report. An evil report. What was the evil report? That they couldn't do something that God said they could do. The evil, what is evil, is saying something or not believing something, saying it's not true that God said was true. That is called, it's called evil, everyone. It's called evil. It's called evil. Numbers 14. You see, they're looking at circumstances in their natural eyes. So the congregation, after finding out this information, that their leaders, 10 of their leaders, said, no, you can't. Just because there's a 66% of the people in the room believe something can't happen doesn't mean it can't happen. It was last year, 99.999% of the people thought the Chicago Cubs would never win the World Series. But they won. Just because of what you think doesn't mean that's what God's going to do. The only thing that God does is his word. Oh, this is huge. The congregation cried out with a loud voice because they believed this was going to happen. But the enemy goes around like a roaring lion. The enemy tries to yell. He tries to get your ear and tell you it's not going to happen. 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 You're full of indecision. You're full of doubt. You're full of anxiousness. He just keeps filling you full of that. To the point where, verse 10, the congregation said, stone Joshua and Caleb. They were saying, you know what? We got testimony. This is what God did for them. God's no respecter of people. We saw the land. God was right. This is an incredible land. And he says it's ours already. These godly people who had already seen miracles happen said, let's stone those people who believe this. Those are people who are filled with fear. They don't want to hear God's word anymore. They're filled with disappointment. They don't want to hear the word anymore. A lot of that leads to depression. When you're depressed, you don't want to hear the word. You don't want to hear the truth anymore. Because you get in such an emotional state. And the word says in John 6:3, it says, my natural feelings, my natural emotions profit me nothing. It's the spirit. It's the word that gives me life. Because you've let your feelings, you've let your emotions get you so down that you don't think there's a way out. And when people try to speak the word over you, you would rather stone them to death because you don't want to hear the truth anymore. Because you don't believe it, because out of the abundance of the heart you speak and you take action on it. But the Lord said in verse 22, because these men have seen, because they've seen my glory, because they've seen my testimony, because they've seen the miraculous signs that I performed in Egypt, because of what I did in the wilderness, yet I've tested and proved me 10 times, and they still don't heed my voice. They spurn me, they provoke me. So, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, a believing spirit, a faith-filled spirit, and he followed me fully, I'm going to bring him into the land. I am going to perform the oath that I swore unto Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. The oath that I gave those who believed in my word. In Genesis chapter 22, it says Abraham believed on me. If you believe in your obedience to me today, I promise you I'll do this. In Genesis 26, he said unto Isaac, if you do this and are obedient unto me, I will perform the oath that I give unto your father. In Genesis chapter 28, to Jacob, he said, if you are obedient like Abraham and Isaac, those before you, the same thing I will do for you that I did for them. God is no respecter of persons. If you and I are obedient unto God's word, he will perform the oath. This is his oath. This is his promise. He will do it for you. I was expecting a little more response from him. That's okay. Your faith is being built right now because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. The story continues. He says, doubtless you shall come because of that, you little ones, childlike faith, those who are righteous, which you should be pray, I'm going to bring you in. Those who don't know better, the young ones who haven't seen this yet, those who haven't, they didn't see all these miraculous things happen. And for Joshua and Caleb, you're coming in. Everybody else, you're not going to see the promises in God's word because you don't believe. Because of what you said. Because out of the abundance of the heart, your disbelief, you said stone them. You cried and you mourned. You said, God's word's not true. God's word's not true. He left us hanging out here. We're going to die. It happens. In verse 38, it says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went and searched the land, they lived. They lived. They saw God's. See, God's plan, it's abundant. Jesus came to bring life and bring it more abundant so we could live. Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, I tell you, on that day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every single idle, non-working word that they speak. Every idle, non-working word. What's a working word? Here. Well, I doubt it's going to happen. Non-working, you're going to have to give a judgment for that. He knows the intent and motives of our heart. If we don't believe by faith, I can see it happening. Well, stop speaking that it's contrary to faith then. Because by your words, you'll be justified and acquitted. And by your words, you'll be condemned and sentenced. Because Jesus, in the word, it says that God is the lawgiver. He's the judge. It's not what you think. It's not what you want to do. It's what he says. And I love this. Joshua said in 14:7 in Joshua, 40 years I was with Moses, and I brought him word again that was in my heart because the word was in his heart, and he brought him the word. And then he said, but now, 45 years later, at age 85, Joshua said, I've never been more alive than I've ever been. Why? Because his faith. He saw a lot of terrible things happen, but he saw when the righteous were afflicted, but God delivered them. When you look back, what do you focus on? The delivery or the affliction? Because there will be tests in your life. And God says, there's going to be tests along the way. And I want to refine you like gold. I'm going to refine you like silver. And it's up to you to say, you know what? I don't like this test anymore. I quit. But if you're going to go through it, if you move through it, if you push through by faith, if you push through by faith, not because of what Anthony Robbins said, not because of what Oprah said, not because of the new book, oh, I just got to push through my best life. No, you hang on to the word, and I can push through because I read it every single day, and I bear it in my heart, and it's my nature now is to never give up. It's to keep pushing forward. It's to hold on to God's word. Why? Because God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Peter said, I opened up my mouth and said of a truth I perceive, God is no respecter of persons. What he did for Joshua and Caleb, if I hold true to what God's word says, then I will see the promises. I will enter that promised land. So what you need to hear this morning is God understands you, he knows you, and he's protecting you. In Job, he said, is there not a protection? Is there not a hedge of protection around Job? A hedge of protection doesn't mean bad things are not going to happen in your life. A hedge of protection, it means that he's not going to take you away from him. There was things happen. Job could have went, even it says right here, oh, Job 6:24. You got to hang on to the word, everybody. You got to hang on to that word. There's a hedge of protection around us. There's a hedge of protection. Bad things are going to happen. We're going to walk through it. Job said, teach me. He lost his kids. He lost his house. He lost all his money. He lost his finances. His health was terrible. And you know what he said? This is what he derived. He said, teach me, Lord, and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand. How forcible are right words? God, these terrible things were happening, and I was speaking something against you. God, I know that, you know, for all of us, there are going to be things in your life that you get disappointed in. It didn't happen in your timetable. The kids weren't like you thought, and your wife, and the family, and life is just, oh, I just can't believe it. You know what? How forcible are right words? Because out of the abundance of your heart, God gave you that spouse. Even if your spouse has passed away, God let you for all those years to embrace them. You know what? If they were in Christ when they died, you're going to see them again. I have that promise to see them again. I have the promise to see my father. I have the promise to see her father again. See, we think we go lost. No, it's just a separation for a period of time. I get to see them again. Amen. See, we look at everything as it's so terrible, but so terrible. No, there's just a different timetable. There's a different timetable that God has than I have. And things just aren't manifesting themselves the way I want, which can cause suffering, which causes confusion, which causes doubt in our lives. So we try to manipulate God's word. We try to do a different plan in order to bring about our own happiness. And he said, stop it right now. I never spoke that over you. Stop it. Be like Joshua and Caleb. Believe the word and believe the word only, and you will enter into the promised land. It may not be when you want. You spent 40 years trying to get there. Jeremiah 1:7. The Lord said unto me, say you're not a child, for thou shalt go out. I shall send thee, and whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Just because you're a child doesn't mean you can't be a mighty man of valor. Just because you're old doesn't mean, because Joshua said, hey, I'm 85. Jeremiah said, I've been young, I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter. God can still perform a miracle in your life. Do you believe it? Do you have faith to believe? There are chains of doubts and fears that hold people back, confusion, indecisiveness, and it can grip you. And you don't do anything indeed anymore because the paralysis of fear and doubt has got such a hold on you, you don't even know how to pray anymore. You drop to your knees when you don't know what to do and you start praying. You pray God's word. Don't pray something contrary to God's word in Jesus' name. You pray his name and you pray his word. Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of the king is, there is power. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. So asking God, how do you wrap this? What do you want me to do? I did something different the first service. I just sent something even different now. I've had people say, you know, but life, my life's pretty good. And it can even be better than you think. No, I'm happy just the way I am. I like steak sandwiches falling from the sky. That's good enough for me. No, God says there's more promises that I have for you, and you're willing to settle. Or there's people here today who says, you know, I have my faith has wavered. I've gone through a difficult time. I've gone through a terrible time of waiting for something to happen. And I want to pray God's word over that situation today. But I don't want to do it where you're standing, because I believe the word needs to be spoken, but the deed needs to be done, that you need to come forward by faith and say, I believe what I'm thinking, how I'm acting, how I see things is going to change when I have faith in God's word that it will. Do you believe that God's word can do the impossible, everyone? It can do the impossible. For anyone who needs to say, Pastor, I need to change what I'm thinking. I need to change what I'm speaking. And I'm going to join you down there, because I need to change the way I'm thinking. I need to change the way I'm speaking. We need an increase of faith today for everyone. We need an increase of faith. Whether it's hopelessness, indecision, lack of faith, full of faith, all things shall become new. I love it. In a passage in Isaiah 43:19, it says, can you not perceive that I'm doing a new thing? It doesn't mean new according to God's word. It means something new in your life that is God's word. The fact that you're here today, hearing this today, that's the new thing that you needed. Wherever you're at today, that's what you need to hear. Because it's not hopeless where you're at. You just feel hopeless, and your feelings don't profit you anything. It's the Spirit that gives life. And God said, all things are possible. Hang on to my word and don't let go. Because the same oath that I performed to Abraham, I'll perform to you, the father of your faith. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. You just start quoting scripture. Just quote scripture. Quote scripture. If you need that today, I want you to come forward. I'm going to join you. We're going to pray the word. Anybody, you need to change the way you're thinking. You need to change what you're speaking. Whatever that situation is, you have doubt in your life about it's not going to change, it's not going to happen. Come on, just come on forward. Humbling yourself before the Lord, sometimes even before fellow Christians, just coming forward. Hey, my life's not perfect. There's things that I'm questioning. There's things that I'm doubting that's going to take place. There's things that I need prayer for. There's things I'm not. Come on up. Come on up. We all smell great at Sunday. Keep coming forward. Keep coming forward. I don't know if it's physical. I don't know if it's relational. I don't know if it's a job change. I don't know if just where you're at in life is just, it's got you. It's just, you don't know what to do. Maybe the kids are just moving out of the house and you're like, what do I do? I mean, what's God want me to do? There's just all these different markers in our life that come up in our lives that we just don't know what to do. And by faith, we step out and say, God, I just want to be obedient to your word. Because when we're obedient to God's word, that's when he makes it clear the next step in our lives. Heavenly Father, I come right now to this group of people who've come here to the altar today, not just in word saying, yeah, I need my faith to increase today, but indeed, they came forward. You saw them step out in all humility and step out and say, God, this has to change. My attitude, my emotions, my feelings need to change. I need to line up with your word. God, I pray right now for the manifestation of your word to come right back right now in the heart. The remembrance of that word, the Holy Spirit is going to remind them of those scriptures, the word that they've already read, that they've already heard, and you're going to cause life right now. They're going to cause life to come back in, because with that, there's hope. And with that hope, their faith is going to increase. I sense right now faith increasing. Father, right now my faith is increasing because I heard the word today. And I don't want to be those faithless people. I don't want to be the 10. I don't want to be in the majority just because the majority can be wrong. Father, with you, all things are possible. No one expected the Red Sea to part. No one expected the women with an issue of blood for 13 years to be healed. No one expected Lazarus to rise again. No one expected a centurion. No one expected the man to see again. No one expected me to rise up out of a bed with 6 blood clots. No one saw certain marriages coming back together. No one could see this, but we can tangibly touch and hear and see the miraculous things, not just in our own lives, but in other people. You're no respecter of persons. We're all part of that same body of Christ. And if we be in Christ, we are in the same line of our father Abraham, who was blessed beyond measure, who continued to walk with him. Father, it's not about financial blessings. It's about blessed in you. It's the richness of your blessings in everything that we do. I pray for clarity right now and wisdom for choices right now, that their faith needs to increase in order to take the steps they need to make that decision right now in Jesus' name. Father, may they not hold back. Maybe there's something you already told them what to do, and they just can't do it. They just can't do it. But Father, I pray right in Jesus' name, I pray you release it right now. Release it in Jesus' name. Get rid of the fear. Do what you've already told them to do. Do what you've already told them to do. Father, for children who are not serving you right now, adult children and maybe young children or age of accountability, they're not serving you right now in Jesus' name. I pray for moms, I pray for dads, whatever that case may be, that they get living right with Jesus, because right now, that's their accountability. They have to look onto mom and dad right now. Look onto mom and dad. Father, I pray for a faith. I pray for faith right now in that household for lost children. Father, I pray for even parents right now who have parents themselves who are not serving you, because I know Jesus is coming soon. I pray for salvation for families and friends right now, for those who have even walked away from the faith. Physically right now, for those who need a physical touch in the body right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray the prayer of faith over them right now in Jesus' name for them to be healed. And Father, it's up to you. You do the work. Whenever you want to heal them for your glory, you do it. But I pray right now, Father, for them to stand firm on your word and to keep quoting the word, not to doubt, not to fear. Father, I pray right now for wives who have been praying for their husbands for years, just like my wife did for me. By faith. I pray for a resurgence of faith right now for those spouses right now who are waiting for their husbands to come back to Christ. I pray for husbands right now who are waiting for their wives to come back to Christ right now in Jesus' name. Don't give up. Don't ridicule. Stop speaking death over that situation. Speak life in Jesus' name, and that is speaking the word. It's not your own words. It's speaking the word of God over that situation. Pray for doubts right now and fears and anxiousness over everything. Maybe you're just going through a period of your life where you're anxious. Everything's making you nervous. Everything's making you... Father, I pray right now as David prayed as his own kids were trying to kill him. He said, I could lay my head down at night and sleep because I knew the Lord would sustain me. That is faith. That is faith in the word. That is faith in the word that you will sustain, you will provide, you will take care of. Father, for this whole congregation moving forward, Father, I pray for this country. I pray for the things that come out of the Christians' mouths, contrary to your word about our leaders. Father, I thank you for the leaders that we have. I thank you that for 17 of the top 24 administrative cabinets, they are born-again believers. Father, I thank you. That I pray for President Trump. Father, continue to give him guidance. Father, you raise kings up. You can take them down, whatever you want to do. But I believe it's for a time and a purpose. There's no one in office right now who didn't have the authority given from you. So, Father, may the church start praying for their leaders. Father, may the church rejoice in those 17 born-again, spirit-filled believers they do have in office right now, because the temperature of the administration is changing. And the enemy doesn't like it. So the enemy's going to come up against the church. Father, may we not get lost in our own problems, in our own situations, but open our eyes up to what's going on, to this hurting country that's so divided by what is truth anymore. Father, that the church itself is bowing down. And Father, I also ask that we don't get so clouded up in the politics that we don't see what the truth is. And the truth is, you're coming back. And Father, the clouds are getting ready to part. We're looking at Israel right now, and we see your glory. We see your glory. We see Scripture being fulfilled right now. So I'm asking for that faith to be filled up right now. For Father, for healing of marriages and relationships and physical bodies. Father, I'm praying for anxiousness and fear to be gone, because the enemy keeps us down. The enemy uses that to stop us from seeing the big picture, and that is Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more tears given at all in heaven. So Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, our mind be set on the promise that you have, that promised land that you gave your people back in the Old Testament, and that promise of a new heaven and a new earth is now for the New Testament church. Father, that it's not about later, it's even now that we can walk in your glory. We can walk in that hedge of protection. But I'm praying right now for our ears and eyes to be understood right now, of our understanding that we see how close it is to your return, and we need to be found faithful. Because the enemy goes around like a roaring lion trying to get us sidetracked by every single way he can. He knows our weak spots. but Father, so do you. So we need to guard our hearts right now and fill it with the word every single day. Father, I pray a hedge of protection around all these. The Bible says we can have the mind of Christ. I pray a hedge of protection around our minds today. Father, I pray for our hearts, because out of the abundance of our heart, it flings forth. Guard our hearts. Father, help us to guard our own hearts by getting and discarding those things that are doubt, fearful, watching reports that are evil reports. We're not denying things aren't going on in our lives, our families, in the world, but Father, you have come to overcome them. It's by the overcoming through your word when we speak it. We give you the glory this morning in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. 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 Have a faith-filled week, everyone.